Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushneider, and I'm joined here with Mark Davis, as usual. Hello, Mark.
Hello, as usual.
As usual, we are here, but today we are also joined by the team who won a free year's worth of pizza and nice guys at Mark's fourth anniversary trivia this week. Mark, what team is this? Who is this team?
Who is this team? Why don't you tell us?
This team is known, and I did not know this was the name of the team before I invited them on the podcast, but they were in fact the winners. And even though we are not obligated to have the winners of this trivia as our guest, I invited them anyway, and here they are. The team is known as the Little Black Book Full of White Nationalists.
Ew.
Now, who is going to own up to this name first on this team?
Looks like he's about to cry.
Right now, our listeners are like, what the fuck is happening on this podcast?
Insert cricket track.
I am really sorry.
All right, so
we have made it this far.
Let me
just break it down here for our regular listeners. We have previous guests, Fletcher and Kristen, also our proverbial light keepers. Our team captains from
team
our Patreons. Yes. We also have... listeners may recognize Seth,
yes.
Former guest and co-host, subbing in for Mark a few episodes ago while he was out of town.
Thank you, Seth.
You're welcome.
And then we are also joined by one Jamie C.
Greetings.
And also Aaron.
Hello, hello.
Now, this was the dream team that came together and decided on the name Little Black Book Full of White Nationalists. Let's just clarify. Are any of you guys white nationalists?
No.
Definitely not.
Can I get a negatory from everyone?
Absolutely not.
All right, so what the hell happened with this name, guys?
I didn't get a chance to say no.
Oh, okay. Everybody should chime in
here. You know, we try to go with something with witty wordplay, you know, and something topical usually that'll get a reaction, right?
Right. And, I mean, nice guys trivia is usually a bit more...
crass.
Encouraging, yeah, crass.
A little looser.
Yeah, right, yeah. So let's go ahead and go down the line, and just to voice ID everybody one more time, give your name and your favorite trivia category.
My name is Seth Ford. I'm an Apollo, and my favorite category is history.
My name is Aaron Willison, and my favorite category is music.
This is Fletcher Herman, and I'd have to say my favorite category is things that start with Z.
Let's say comics, because you definitely
comics,
you went on a rant a bit the last time you were on the podcast.
Lots of things. It's hard to pin it down.
Yeah, we got the full history of Captain Marvel Jr. in an episode. Mm-hmm. What was that? Do you remember what episode that was?
Was it 12?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Look it up. Just go to our website and click on their name on the guest page. We'll have all the episodes there. All right. And we have Kristen, of course.
And yes, I am Kristen. I think my favorite category might be history.
Okay. Two history buffs so far.
And I am Jamie Carmichael. And anytime a trivia host starts a question with, in the Disney movie, I get all kinds of excited.
This man will be mid-conversation about the most deep thing.
Can you remember, Jamie, a time that you've gotten a Disney question wrong?
Nope. Definitely not. I don't
definitely
get questions
there
wrong.
There was one. I can't remember what it is, but I remember there being one. And
I dare you
so
to find... Bring the receipts, Mark Davis. Bring the receipts.
You know what? I'll do a little homework. I'll see if I can't... So I think it may have been a question you asked, but maybe not.
I think I remember this too. Unfortunately, I don't have any Disney questions on the docket today. But what we do have is so Mark, of course, came to my Monday night trivia at Three Pepper, and this week I did come to Nice Guys to try and score some free pizza. So I heard all of his questions. So what we're gonna do for questions this week, we're breaking the format a little bit. We're just gonna ask some of what I think are the hardest questions that I asked this week at trivia nights that you guys were not at. So I didn't try a softball anyway. Sometimes I throw some easy ones in there just because they're interesting. You know, I'll know Mark knows the answer to it. But today, I think I'm trying to stump you guys here. So I want you to bring it. Just got a couple more questions. Fletcher, who would you say was the all-star on the team? Actually, let me field that to you, Kristen. Who's the all-star player on the team?
I like that you're fielding this to me because although I think it was a really great group effort across the board, Fletcher is the one who had the wager question in the bag.
It was fucking Fletcher.
Collusion.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, he knew it before Mark even started spelling the word out for the. He just like grabbed the sheet and started writing it down. Dude, so he really brought it home.
A trichobezoar is another name for what?
This is where Fletcher really spread his wings.
This was the other questions. Everybody was just boom, boom, working off each other like a finely tuned engine. And then I asked this question, sure that barely anyone would know it. And no one on your team did except for Fletcher. And you said it was from a comic. You said it was from Sandman, right? Yeah.
There was a character in one of the Sandman comics who requested one from someone as a form of payment for some sort of service, for use in some sort of magic craft.
So, and the answer was?
A hairball.
A hairball.
And can I just say for the audience, like, if you visualize, Fletcher's eyes got as big as saucers.
They did.
He began to salivate and foam at the mouth, right? And he reached to the middle of the table with such fervor and grabbed the sheet and the pen in one foul swipe, pulled it back to his little station, and scratched out hairball. And we were all like, what the actual hell?
But it was amazing. Thank you, Dungeon Master.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that that last question on both of ours, where you're wagering whatever, you know, it's a chance for other people to lose a lot of points because they get cocky with it or, you know.
At your events, I groan at comic book questions and things like that. And when I listen to anybody bring up anything comic book, it's kind of just, it turns me off. That's never, ever going to happen again. And I will never talk down a comic book question in any way, shape, or form from that night. Because pizza.
Yeah, so you guys win a free large pizza every week for 52 weeks from Nice Guys. Initially, I thought it was going to be a small pizza, but they ended up upping the ante, if you will.
Seth, that had to be some of your inspiration to join the team because, as everybody knows, you fly solo most of the time. So what was it? You just didn't think you could beat them, the Wet Boys, or?
Pizza.
Yeah.
It was.
So you just wanted to lock in that victory.
Yeah, I mean, I had actually the week before I showed up at Nice Guys and Jamie was sitting there all by his lonesome and he looked so sad.
I cried.
And I came over and I rubbed his back and said, there, young one, I'll be with you. And and me and him played together and that week. And we did okay. We didn't do that great. But then he had said to me, you know, next week is going to be the week that they give away a year's worth of free pizza. And that's pretty much, that just set me on a different course.
Right.
Because, yeah, I was like, well, why don't we, you know, form like Voltron and kind of dominate this thing. And we didn't, but then we wound up doing it. And now pizza.
Pizza. Yeah, so is this partnership going to continue at Three Pepper?
Oh,
are you guys going to team up? Or
No, definitely not. Okay.
No, it will not.
Nope.
So this is really King kind of like, you guys treated this kind of like an all-star game.
This was a Pink Moon kind of thing. Yeah. You know, yeah. Only
and
shows
Aaron just happened to stumble upon it, basically.
Well, to those
even
of you
though,
who...
Even though I called dibs last week on the podcast,
ooh.
I said, I need to get on that team.
Ooh.
And then I waltz in, and who's sitting in the fifth chair but Aaron? Getting that free pizza.
If it helps, I also had to reject my mom.
Ooh.
True story.
That was really rough. Because she shows
up sometimes.
Does your
mom have a podcast, though, that she brings you on?
Oh,
I mean, let's be real.
Well, if you're going to choose
she
favorites.
Might.
Let's be real. Don't worry. There's no animosity here. That's why I wanted to have you guys on. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's go ahead and go over our weekly wrap-up before we get into round number one. On Monday, the Wet Boys edging out four other teams, including the Nightmare Before Moist Street.
Ooh.
I love that name. It's like a twofer. You get Nightmare on Elm Street and Nightmare Before Christmas, plus the Moist Men. Very classy, guys. The Wet Boys winning 82 points that evening. Congratulations to many of you sitting in front of me right now.
The whole team is here.
Yeah, that's
now
true.
Now truly in its full form.
That's true. Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing Company, a team of two going simply by Shannon, winning with 53 points, beating out Doug and Tracy in a tiebreaker.
Doug and Tracy, that's a very imaginative name.
Right. You know, they were like, who are we?
I hate when teams do
that. Well, I think
that.
They were...
Or their
were
initials
a,
is even worse. B and W.
I think they were on like a first date or something. The guy showed up early and he was like, Tracy's not here yet. When he turned in his... Tracy showed up.
That's
Tracy
even sadder than Alone, Jamie.
But I'll say it was good. His score went up when she joined, so it worked out well
I
for
bet
him.
It did.
Yeah.
So the only thing that went up.
Hey now, Thursday at number three, Custom Sandwiches and the Squeaky Chairs won with 81 points. a big congratulations to all of them, and thanks to all the teams that came out to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming No Nonsense Trivia Challenges are happening on Monday, October 29th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. Come face off against the Wet Boys. And Thursday, November 1st at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. Don't forget, instead of our normal Wednesday night trivia at Bury Me Brewing Company this week, on Tuesday, October 30th, it's the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Horror Movies Edition. Test your knowledge of the world of fright cinema among categories including frightful characters, dreadful directors, behind-the-scenes terrors, and more. Hey, come out and play at the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Horror Movies Edition live at Bury Me Brewing Company this Tuesday, October 30th. Do you guys want to? You guys want to sample trivia question, horror trivia, real quick? You just want to off the cuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, what two horror film franchises both contain characters named Pinhead?
Oh, I know this.
I know this. Okay. I know Hellraiser would be one.
That's right.
Right. Puppet Master would be the other.
That's right. Oh. Very good. Very good. Yikes. You guys seem ready.
All right.
That's one trivia I will not be participating in, as I have never seen a whole horror movie in my life.
A whole
Disney movie is a horror thing.
That isn't the one you started, Mark Davis.
We'll do some Disney trivia soon.
Thank you.
You know, I think I was talking about recently about Puppet Master because that.
Well, they just had a new movie came out.
Scared the shit out of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And I remember there being one named Pinhead because it had a really small head.
Right.
And every time I would say it, people would be like, no, no, that's Hellraiser. And I'd be like, I'm pretty
they
fucking
didn't
know, sure.
They didn't know about that Puppet Master.
So you just, now I feel like you just took me out of one of those, the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
For what it's
now
worth,
you're
vindicated.
In normality.
For what it's worth, Clive Barker hates the name Pinhead.
Really?
And he has another name for him. I believe it's the Hell Priest.
Right.
He's got something so bad as he's like, guys, stop. Well, I got a cool name for him and everything.
For the uninformed, Clive Barker is the director and
the writer.
The writer and creator
of the Hellraiser series.
And Hellraiser,
yes.
I believe, was his first movie.
Yes.
First full-length movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah. So when he says he hates the name, it's because it's his baby.
Exactly.
It's his mental creative
and
baby.
Just
not literally his baby, yes. Yeah. His mental creative
but
baby.
But he would love that. He would love that.
If he could give birth.
Yeah, if he had given birth.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a short break, followed by some trivia in round one. Also, don't forget Mark at Wednesday. On Wednesdays at Nice Guys, of course.
Should I give the top three teams or whatever? That
yeah.
Because
do that.
There was a team called Try Kissing It that got 43 points. I don't know if I have them all in order because I wrote
even
them down.
Even that's a better name somehow than what you guys picked.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, anything almost at this point is going to be better than what
even
we picked.
Even a blank space in the name category.
Morgan Freeman's Semen Demons, which is an amazing name.
Wow.
Still better.
40 points. Yeah. There was
depending on what comes out about Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, let's hope
not. That one might not age well.
Werewolves, Therewolves with 47 points. But, of course, we have the winning team in front of us. The Little Boom. Black Book of White Nationalists. And you guys got 65 points. So there was a comfortable cushion.
It was that wager question. If Greg hadn't set the bar at 33 points.
We went whole
hog. Normally, you know, you set it at 20, but you asked Greg off the cuff, and he said, 33, let's do it.
I know another team came up after
the
fact.
Did Greg know the question, or was he just pulling a number out of the air?
Pulling a number.
So much randomness.
I Scott Tripp on one of the teams came up to me. He's like, I was fighting. We wagered 30, not 33. I didn't know that you said 30, but I was fighting with one of the guys about the math question. I was like, sorry, dude, when the paper's in, he was like, fuck you, Mark Davis. He was so mad.
Yeah, he was gone almost instantly.
How satisfied did that make you?
Huh?
How satisfied did that make you?
Oh, so very sad. I was talking to someone.
That's just Scott's natural being, really.
Well, yeah, but I also definitely love when I hear, when I ask a question, I hear everybody go, oh, God, like moaning and groaning. I know I had said on one of the earliest episodes of the podcast that I love that. When I see people twist in their chair and like moan, whether because it's something really hard or something that everybody knew they knew at one point but don't remember now, oh, such satisfaction.
I'd also like to point out that a big reason why I believe that we won that night is because at the very beginning, before the trivia even started,
I sent you all the answers.
I mean, it's worth telling anybody that, Mark. But also, not only that, I very awkwardly made everyone on the team join hands and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Which made for a really unusual scene in Nice Guys. But I truly believe that's part of the reason, that and Fletcher, why we came out on top.
Well, you think Jesus was looking out for you?
He always is.
What about all those other teams? He was just like, fuck you guys?
He doesn't care about them.
You got to remember...
That doesn't sound right.
...that Seth's father won a Grammy.
Oh, God, man. Come on.
So this was owed to him? This was owed to his bloodline? Is what you're suggesting?
This is just desserts.
This was owed to his bloodline of greatness? All right. Let's go ahead and wrap things up here with these not-white nationalists.
Please make that clear.
Just want to mention again, totally not-white nationalists.
We're going to take a break and get back into some trivia in round number one. And we're back. Before we jump into the questions, thank you to our newest Patreon supporters, our Episode 7 guest Mike, chipping in a few bucks to become our second official Rumpelstiltskin, both named Mike. It's interesting.
We got two mics and a turntable.
And a microphone. Oh, wait.
No, that's...
No, no, okay. Yeah.
No, well, no. There goes that.
Yep. No, I had to complete that. I didn't...
You blew this from a guy.
I had to logic that one out vocally. Okay.
Right. That works.
Yeah, don't make fun. Also, big thanks to our friends Sherry W. and Sean C. for joining the Moistians, Moist Max and Moist Lucas, as proverbial light keepers. It is thanks to you all that our light has been kept. You are the oil to our menorah. Thank you, Trivia Babies. Also, of course... Thank you to our team captains here, Fletcher and Kristen, joining us on this episode.
Thank you, guys. Finally, we can thank you eye to eye.
Yeah.
Thank
you so much. Making the rest of the team look bad. That's all I'm doing here.
You're welcome, Jamie.
All these other people give us shit. You guys help us, though.
Will you take a personal check?
Thank you.
Look me in the fucking eye. Yeah.
If you, dear listeners, would like to check out our Patreon page, which features all of the support tiers, rewards, and goals for the show, just go to nononsense.fireside.fm and click the support button in the top menu. All right. Finally, let's get into round one.
Are you guys ready? Do you guys feel prepared?
Yeah.
Did you all have a well-balanced breakfast?
Aaron?
I did not. So if you have a Pop-Tart or something,
Aaron
I
would most of an island over there.
I'd like to point out
he's conserving his energy.
Aaron got stepped on earlier.
Yeah, he stepped on him.
We were trying to give him a chance to come up and say something because he's been just about as quiet as a church mouse.
He's shaking his hand right now.
I'm not a speaker. I'm a thinker.
Okay.
Those who know say, those who don't edit out.
And honestly, like that's kind of an Aaron's okay. Good.
Let me ask you guys. Is that true? Did Aaron did he think a lot? Did he contribute a lot?
Well, that's his MO, honestly. A trivia is like,
or was it
he'll
was
wander
an
outside
what,
for a minute
on?
Or he'll stand at the end of the table and total silence and then it's like a bolt of genius lightning and he's like, okay, this is what it is. You know, like a Kramer entrance into the room, but onto our trivia sheet.
I see.
Okay. I know.
Well, we're going to see if lightning strikes twice here on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Well,
I've got a history question for you guys. Kristen, Seth, you said that history was your thing. This is some contemporary history, but it is also a bit of comic book related. So
snap.
I feel like you guys are probably going to get this one. I feel like you're probably going to get it. Here it is. Who was heir to a wealthy family, maintained an athletic build, was a bachelor, sought justice as a lawyer, and suffered the tragic loss of a parent at a young age, a combination of qualities that led some to consider him a real-life Bruce Wayne until his own untimely death in 1999.
Woof.
Okay. That was a very in-depth question.
Yeah, no kidding.
He writes novels.
So we're thinking of a real-life historical figure who mirrors a lot of the Bruce Wayne origin story.
Yeah, you said it was a comic book question. I was just going to blurt out Bruce Wayne until you got to the end.
you can't predict that shit.
This is
let
real life.
Let me go through these qualities one more time.
Go ahead.
You're thinking of a real-life person, as Jamie just said.
Okay.
And this is a real-life Bruce Wayne who was the heir to a wealthy family, maintained an athletic build, was a bachelor, sought justice as a lawyer, and suffered the tragic loss of a parent at a young age. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Think American royal family, wealthy, political, was a lawyer and a famous bachelor. I'm thinking maybe a Kennedy.
No.
When
he wasn't a bachelor.
No.
Well, not when he died, but he was a bachelor for most of his life, yeah. Right?
Bobby Kennedy is who you're thinking. No, none of them.
The Kennedy son.
John.
John F.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Think about it.
Dude was always like
John Kennedy Jr.
Pictures on the tabloids with the shirt off.
John.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that seems to me like that
was you just spoke a no to yes real quick.
Yeah, because I was thinking
of all the Kennedy, you know, for the original Kennedys, the Teddys, the John Juniors.
I would just like the record to show that Seth is way older than most of us.
This is somewhat of a current history question, which would go in line with what you're saying, because John is he only died in 1999 in a plane crash with his model wife. It's John. It's John Kennedy Jr.
Let's say the rest of this team.
Sure.
Aaron with a hard follow-up.
So committed. It's whether or not the bachelor qualifier is a bachelor for most of his life or when he died.
Because he wasn't
when he died.
That's right.
1999.
Was he married to that model who was in the plane with him?
I believe her name was Bissett or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, was he married?
Fletcher, you're still. Do you have another answer?
I mean, it sounds like
you're questioning this little detail, but I'm wondering if you're.
I don't have anything else in mind. Otherwise, that lines up.
Are we good? Are we going in?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
It's either right or it's not.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have to go in on that one.
All right, so.
That is correct. It is John F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes!
I will say that he was known for being a bachelor for many, many years, more than he was known for being locked down.
Okay, I gotta
skip. I love when you're like, well, it depends on if he died when he was married or not.
He went out with like Madonna.
1999.
Dude.
I do the same thing where I'm just like, I freeze up and I'm like, I was not expected to be asked this question at all.
Well, it's not that, but any extra is really, you know, that is for clarification. I feel like I gave a lot of different qualities there that all line up. And that's why I was thinking, do you have somebody else in mind that this could be?
Well, so that's kind of how
I felt.
If
you have a second one, then that's a valid question. Like the Bachelor thing, if you had somebody else that was like, well, there was this other guy who was a bachelor too.
So that's kind of how I felt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Notable for being a bachelor, but.
So generally was a bachelor. There was a lot in that question. I was trying to shorten.
Well, so that's kind of how I felt when I asked a question about Quincy at my trivia on Wednesday. Was an abscess on what body? What it said on what organ? Mm-hmm. And then I read it and I'm like, are tonsils an organ?
Yes.
The answer is tonsils. And so I look up on Wikipedia and then it says nothing about organ at all. It's just like, oh, it's a lymphatic sac. And I was like, does that constitute an organ? So I get back on the microphone. I'm like, all right, so here's the deal. It might be an organ, but it might not be. So there's that. And everybody started freaking
out. See, I would have rather you committed. Yeah. I hated you in that moment because then the conversation turned to, is this an organ? Is this not an organ?
You wrote down skin for that, didn't you?
I think we did.
When you wrote down skin, he said it's an organ but not an organ or something like that. And I was thinking to myself, well, the largest organ on the body is skin. And I've always heard it said like that. So
I will try and make this as quick as I can. But I was explaining this. In my eyes, if I was on a team, I would have gone with something that is not obviously an organ, because if it was obviously an organ, I wouldn't have to change anything. So when I come in and I go, it's not an organ, or maybe it's an organ, well, then you know it's not the heart, it's not the lungs, it's not the liver, it's not the pancreas, it's not the kidneys. I just eliminated.
You went from 20, a list to a negative list, though.
But
that's so confusing.
It's still a list that has some stuff taken off. If stuff's taken off, then you have a better chance of guessing. So if you know what Quincy is, if you're a doctor or whatever the fuck, and you're like, oh, you know, I know Quincy is, it doesn't matter what, you know, how big of a list I make it. You should just know it's tonsils. But at least I eliminated something and didn't just say
after you spent
what
like
body
10
part.
Minutes thinking. Or however, I don't know how long it was, not 10 minutes, but.
But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to our second question here.
So here's the second question. In what Asian country? Oh, should I tell them? I guess it's agriculture. So I don't usually give. I'm playing by Lee's rules today. In
subcategories.
In what Asian country was the first cucumber cultivated?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Well. Boy, oh boy. Crickets.
cucumbers.
In what Asian country was the first cucumber?
Do you know that the word spinach derives from a Persian word?
I did not.
And that there are certain religions there that believe that it's that planting certain lettuces and spinaches are not in line with their religion or with their god or their deity at that time. And, you know, there are other little ones other than just Islam throughout the Middle East. I'm going to guess that it's either going to be somewhere around, like, in the Middle East, Iran, Syria, Iraq. I'm going to go with maybe Syria.
I'm just going to repeat the question.
Go ahead. Asian.
Yeah.
That's that. Yeah. Middle East is in Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is pulling me away because you thought maybe it wasn't, so now it's going to be some other place.
Now, okay, this is coming way
out of... The question is,
if
we were talking about Iran, would we call it an Asian country? Or would we call it a Middle Eastern country?
See, this is what happens to our team many times.
Yeah. This is not as...
It's a little bit of a hint.
Okay. Yeah, this is not as trying to befuddle you.
China.
Well,
China.
I was going to say, China. Now, this is totally out of left field kind of reasoning, but... when he started to say agriculture and Asian, I don't know why. There's a Japanese eggplant that's different than regular eggplant.
Is it the white eggplant?
It's different shaped. No, it's just different. They use it for different cuisine and stuff.
He's so enthralled in you guys.
Land of the rising eggplant.
I just, for some reason, think Japan is an interesting choice.
Japan or China?
Because they do interesting things with their vegetables.
Anything for me on this would just be a total stab in the dark. I'm just going to say Vietnam.
Just my first thought was Vietnam, too. But I don't know if that's just because I'm thinking. All right, Jane Fonda, cool
it. Is there any reason behind that?
Nope.
Banh mi's, baby.
No. you know what? They do put cucumber on them real good sandwiches.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher. So what is your final answer as a team?
I say we let Aaron pick.
Don't put the spotlight on me.
Aaron,
just
choose.
This is your moment. You've been thinking, man.
Do it, Aaron.
You've been thinking.
Commit.
Nonstop.
Vietnam. Why not?
The correct answer is India.
God, I suck.
We were all wrong.
Well, no one said India. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, that India. Makes sense.
It makes sense now that you think about it.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Okay. India. Here is a movies question for you guys.
Yep.
With only 700 lines of dialogue for his character, what 1991 sci-fi feature film paid its lead actor a little over $20,000 per word?
1991.
Sci-fi feature film.
Sci-fi feature film.
Lead actor.
Non-talking actor.
How many words?
700 lines of dialogue.
I'm thinking it's got to be Terminator 2.
Was it Terminator 2? Is that when it came out?
That's, yeah.
That was what I was thinking.
That would make sense.
That's definitely it. Jamie, you have
Jamie's
to say something.
Jamie's got a look of skepticism. He's cracking his neck.
You know what? I'll just take one for the team. I'll go with it. I'll go with it.
That's correct. Terminator 2 is the correct answer. Good job, guys.
I'm glad I laid down
you
on the sword for
that one.
You took
one for the team, guys, by giving you the
points. Threw himself on the trivia.
I'm so kind.
I am kind.
What a mensch.
And very humble.
Board game history is the next category. During the Great Depression... Alfred Mosher Butts. Is it Mosher or Mosher?
I think it's Mosher.
You said
it's probably Mosher, but I like Mosher.
During the Great Depression, Alfred Mosher Butts invented what board game at the time called Lexico?
Okay. I know that lexicon is a collection of words, like a dictionary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my head immediately jumps to a word game.
Scrabble?
Like Scrabble or a crossword-esque sort of thing.
Boggle?
Boggle seems... Isn't there a moving part in Boggle? That seems very high-tech.
Yeah.
What's the other... Oh, no. That's
of course, it was also
like
created...
with words. Now,
yeah, I think
so much fun to watch them think.
Prone to be...
Indeed it is.
Scrabble.
Because he did say board game, right? Yeah. So we're not talking about like a crossword puzzle.
No, it's board game. It's Scrabble, I think. It's
where you write down the words based on the letter that you get.
Oh, that's categories.
Categories.
Whoa, side note. Mark Davis is serious about some categories if you ever have a chance.
Do not get fucking started about fucking categories.
Oh, yeah.
If you try and use fucking adjectives to fucking write down your shit like red plastic cup, I'm going to call you out.
Lee, I'm sorry I brought this up. It sets a fire in him like no other.
It's good. I like burning deep. It's good to see passion in his eyes.
It's been a while.
Or just once.
He just once. Damn it. Dory, the black vacancy is there again.
So what are you guys going with here?
Doth we say Scrabble?
I'm saying Scrabble, yeah.
Scrabble is correct.
Yes.
So, Lee, you wrote that question, and as a question writer, during the Great Depression, a board game was invented. Were you trying to kind of lead someone onto a Monopoly thing going on there? Was that like...
No, why?
Well, I guess when I see Great Depression... Oh, and that board is
a
game.
That's a game that's famously associated with that.
So yeah, it would be like, I have all this money and I can like buy, you know. So it seemed like you were kind of like veering. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
I think that's more just your association of that time in board games.
Weird, because everybody here just said yes. So well, it's not
well,
me.
But I'm not giving a hint. That's just factually what happened. It was during the Great Depression.
I understand.
He conceived the idea. The way, but when he didn't have a job, he was like sitting around.
The way that it was worded. It just makes it seem a little bit more leading. Yeah, than you probably intended.
It's clever. I thought
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to make someone like automatically just go, you know, I don't even need to hear the rest of the question. Write down Monopoly until you get to Lexico, and then
well,
I saw kind
why
of every
I included Lexico.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You were saying that you weren't trying to kind of like lead someone on to write Monopoly, which surprises me. It seemed like you were trying to be clever. That you weren't.
Maybe my
so
brain
natural.
Just operates that. You know, I got subliminal agents going on in the background.
I'm so brilliant, man. I don't even know when I'm being brilliant. Dude.
I don't even know it. I do have another question, though. This is your guys' fifth question. Question here. Popular phrases is the subject. Here we go. What phrase, based on billiards, is used to indicate a dilemma that is hard to remove oneself from?
Billiards.
The first one that jumped right into my head again, I'm one of those knee-jerk kind of cats. So if it comes to, like, behind the eight ball, isn't that like a popular phrase? Like,
that is.
We're behind the eight ball on this one, guys. Blah, blah, blah,
yeah, but that would indicate positivity. This one is you know, you can't, a situation that you can't extract yourself from, right? Yeah. So, no, behind the eight ball wouldn't really.
Is it something like
a dilemma that is hard to remove oneself?
Yeah, and
from?
If you're behind the eight ball, that means you've got a clean, easy shot to win the
game.
Does
it? Or are you at a bad angle from the eight
ball?
Have
you ever played pool, Jamie?
A couple of times.
What about cornering yourself or like got myself into a corner? Would something like that work?
Yeah. But you keep thinking in that direction, I think.
My mind just keeps running back to a sticky wicket, but that's not even in.
Isn't a wicket
in the right,
croquet?
It's not even. It's not even in the same solar system.
For as much as we know about sports, it might as well be billiards.
I was going to say pickle, but I'm just hungry.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You had to say something, didn't you?
Out on a high note.
Wow. What's that saying? Like, caught
I don't know.
Into a corner?
Is there something have to do with the pockets? Like, I mean, right? Like
there's painted myself into a corner. That wouldn't really take away from.
I haven't painted too many times playing billiards.
As in paint the town red? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't. Stripes, solids,
let's go
who knows?
Let's go paint the town red into a corner.
Yes.
That'll be the new one.
Well, that's a weird before and after.
So
but right.
I'm just going to say, look, I don't want to throw my weight around here, but at least mine had an object from the game in it.
It's true.
So perhaps
Seth is fighting you on
it. Would
it
would be a wise
no,
choice.
No, I'm not fighting because I can't come up with an answer.
Okay.
So,
I mean, what's a hard shot to make?
All of them.
Seriously. Me, yes,
if you have no geometrical knowledge like myself.
Is it the eight ball in the corner pocket? Is that the hard one? I know nothing about billiards.
That is a, no.
If
that
I
is
could just speak philosophically, sometimes taking the shot, any shot, is the hardest.
Oh,
Jesus
damn.
Christ, Lee.
Damn.
Ooh.
Watch out for Lee's new
podcast
coming out.
Right.
Motivation
called
Mondays.
Positive Affirmations.
Deep thoughts. Fresh night.
Positive Affirmations with Bush.
And if Schneider. I did, and I was talking about a situation that was difficult to remove oneself from, I'm going to give this to you guys because I think you would have gone with Jamie on this one. Behind the eight ball, It is not a positive. Yeah. It is a negative. It's like, I'm behind the eight ball, and that shit is about to hit me.
Excuse me, team.
I'm a little guy.
Really?
I don't know. That's how I interpret it.
Jamie, I just need you to validate me real quick, please.
Okay.
All right. No, that wasn't quite what I was wanting.
Can I get some positive affirmations from Brett Schneider?
I refuse to validate this man.
Jamie, you are so smart.
Thanks.
Put on this podcast while you go to sleep.
All right.
You're smart enough.
Wake up believing.
Was it just
yourself,
me, or did that seem skeevy and a little seductive also?
That voice, that was like my my moose on a wall from Ass Cat voice.
Try to help me, poppers.
I don't know if anybody here has seen Ass Cat. It's been a while since it's been on Netflix, but that is a improv comedy documentary based on a real life event.
Yeah.
Very, very recommended. Very recommended.
All right, here's the last question of the first round, guys. You guys are doing good so far. A lot of this inner team workings, very intense.
Mm-hmm. They only got the cucumber one wrong. That's the only one they got wrong so far.
Yeah. So the last question, he put business. I'm gonna say internet. I don't agree with some of your subcategories.
Fletcher, your feelings
going
up?
I took out internet.
I'm gonna call it internet. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's internet.
Internet business.
Lee's done with
internet
me.
Is Sarah's business.
Backrub was one of the original names considered for what popular website? Jesus,
it's Google.
We can still
totally Google.
We don't need to talk it out.
We don't even need to.
Fletcher is not fucking around here.
Look,
no bullshit here.
This is one we know. We've had this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even know how many
times.
Over Backrubs.
Over Backrubs.
I had a lot of teams write down Backpage for that one.
For some reason, I would think Amazon if I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Because Amazon seems like it's trying to help you out. It's like a Backrub.
Amazon did have another funny non-name ahead of time. Oh, man. What was it? I can't
Monopoly.
Remember off the top of my head.
Backrub actually comes from, it has to do with the way Google's algorithm
massages.
Works or worked at the time. I can't recall exactly which.
So are you saying Google goes in the back door?
Sure, we'll go with that. Sure, we'll go with that.
So I just I put that in the business category because I think it relates to branding. And what I had previously had an internet category, but I found a lot of those questions were about memes. So I moved memes over under pop culture. So that's my thinking for the category there.
Relentless.com.
That was Amazon?
Was Amazon's original name, or one of their original names.
Yeah. There's another one, too. Man, I'll have to look this up. We'll get back to this. Anyways, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back in round two with some more questions. And we're back in round two.
Here we are.
But before we get with the questions, we're going to invite this team to join us with some Rate My Questions.
Rate My Question.
Very nice.
Rate My Questions.
Our first, we have actually, we'll do both of these. We have two user-submitted Rate My Questions this week. And I didn't look up this first one. Because the answer was not provided. So I figured we could all try and game this out and maybe just look it up live. Here's the question, though. This is from Moist Lucas from the Moist Men, our Three Pepper team,
awesome.
Sometimes over at Bury Me Too. He is a proverbial lightkeeper as well. He writes, sports question for you guys. What NBA player who played for the Lakers from 1960 to 1974 is said to be represented in the NBA's logo? Do you know it?
A piece of cake, yeah.
Hold on. Before you say it. Does anybody else know it?
Because
I did not look it up.
I have a guess.
Let's talk about the guesses before.
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
And this is coming from a person who has...
Because you look certain.
Positive. Yeah.
This is coming from a person with no sports inclination, no sports knowledge, no... I'm just going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That was...
Just for shits and
giggles. That's not my guess. I feel like I'm with you, though. And maybe this is... A zennial millennial difference between you and me, Fletcher, as we've established before.
I feel like
that would be more of a millennial answer actually than a Generation X one. Jamie, did you have a guess?
I was gonna back Fletcher up on that one. Same thing.
Aaron,
we're not
any
sports
guesses?
People.
Do
you
all really think that logo looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I don't.
There is one man.
Judgmental much? Jeez.
Because I went there, yeah, and I'm thinking of what was that Bruce Lee movie he was in? The Tower.
I'm completely from Airplane. That's my entire guess is based on Airplane.
Yeah, it was the Tower of something. Yeah,
he's got like that huge fro. And yeah. So my guess, was Wilt Chamberlain. No?
No.
You are off on the race.
Yep.
Am I?
Yep.
Yeah, that dude's white.
That is a white man. That is I'll let you say.
The guy in the logo is a white guy. Okay.
I don't know the race of the guy in the logo.
You said Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, now I'm giving you help. So he's not black.
Okay.
Okay. Wilt Chamberlain was a little bit before that time.
See, that Kareem was the oldest Abdul-Jabbar. I could think.
Yeah, I know. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't. I think he played in the 72 Olympics, which would have made him. I think he was on UCLA, and he wouldn't have been on the team until after that time, until after 72. And he retired in the 90s, but I know who it is. It's Jerry West.
Mm-hmm. Jerry West. Yeah. Okay. Did you know that, Mark?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I was going to answer it, but I'm not one of the guests, so I just shut my mouth and let Seth do it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But so I knew he was white.
As a question, I like that question. That's a difficult one. I didn't know it, obviously, but it's an interesting piece of information.
That actually, coming from outside of a little bit of this, that's one that, well, sports, a lot of sports people, I think, are going to know. Mm-hmm. Anybody that you see in a sports bar, if you were to ask that question at a sports trivia night, I think probably more than half of the crowd would easily get that question.
Right, but at a mixed general knowledge,
not so
that's
much,
for
no.
the sports person on the team.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
If you have a balance. Okay, here's our second question. What do you think? That was a good question, right? Or do you
yeah, I would say that's a great question. No,
that's
no.
A very good question.
I'd say that is a very, it's the point of bringing a sports person to the team. I think that is very much so why you have a Seth on your team. Just like when you're talking about, you know, plays and stuff like that, you know, having someone like Jamie on your team.
It's
like,
why you have a Fletcher on your team for fucking comic book questions.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
I can't stress that enough.
On a level of sports questions, I would rate that out of a difficulty from 1 to 10. I'd say probably like a 4 or a 5. I mean, the average sports person who loves sports.
Intermediate level.
Yeah, yeah, we'll know it.
Yeah. Also, we have a second rate my question from fellow Quizmaster Dallas Robinson.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be
a great guy.
Thanks for writing in, Dallas. He says, first, I got to say, I love the Blues Traveler question on the latest episode because Hook is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's brilliant. If you remember correctly, listeners, that is the song that is about how formulaic pop songs are.
And I never thought, just I'd like to add, when you guys talked about that last week, I had never realized as he's sitting there singing those rapid fire words there in the verses that, yes, that is Pachelbel and D. That's, I mean, I never thought of it, but I'm like, yeah, when you ask the question, I'm thinking, who's Pachelbel and D? You know, what is that?
Right.
I got a reaction out of Aaron.
Aaron's
I'm just
laughing.
Giggling because I like to giggle sometimes.
Well, I will just...
Wow. You know, he saves it all up, but when he lets it go...
When he does talk, it is
I like
something
to giggle
special.
It's so good.
For what's worth, Seth just fell over laughing.
Yes. Out of the chair and onto the floor.
All right, back to Dallas's question here.
I like laughing.
Dallas, who's a quizmaster, he says, I like to ask Mandela effect type questions sometimes, but I heard that people think of them as trick questions. Here's the question that he asked. What color is the Pillsbury Doughboy's scarf? So he's already given us kind of a little bit of a hint. But what would you guys say? What color is the Pillsbury Doughboy's
blue,
scarf?
Isn't it?
I want to say it's white.
Knee jerk, I went white. Cause
it's
dough colored.
I think it is white.
I think he's completely white. His hat, his scarf.
It's just a different white from his
This
white.
Sounds like a Megyn Kelly segment. I'm uncomfortable.
I will say, color. I remember there being blue, but I think the blue is the stitching on it. Mm. I think it was white, but I think that it had blue stitching.
His scarf is 100% white, but he does have some blue on his hat.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a little tassel coming from his hat.
I thought it was like the logo for branding or something.
A ribbon.
Do we want to?
90% of people assumed it was a softball question and wrote blue. I think it's a valid question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Respectfully, Dallas R. Robinson.
Great question.
Yeah.
I
love that question.
That's an awesome question.
100% on your side, and any players that you have complaining about that are just sore losers, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people. I feel lucky because I feel like people expect hard questions, so when I ask them, they're just like, good ones tonight. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not like, hey, that seems unfair. It's like, there's nothing fucking unfair about it. And the fact that so many people thought it was blue is exactly why you asked it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It validates it. Yes.
I'll tell you why I thought it was blue. I was, for some reason, thinking of the Stay Puffed character from Ghostbusters.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh.
He's got a big blue thing on his shoulders. He's basically
a giant puffy
thing.
He's
a cross between the Pillsbury Doughboy and Babendum,
the Michelin Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Michelin Man, Babendum.
Babendum?
We went to Dallas's trivia a few weeks ago, and he actually also asked a Mandela effect question at that one. Mm. And I think they're really fun questions just for that reason. It was spell out Berenstain, as in the Berenstain Bears.
Yep. Now, wait a second. Wait just a goddamn second.
The door has been open, ladies.
Lee was just up for 8 hours following a YouTube wormhole from the John F. Kennedy assassination, which ended up with Berenstain Bears.
Those books were written by David Icke. No, but isn't there a picture where that proves that they were both used, both spellings of Berenstain and Berenstain?
There have been some of, like, I think it's VHS tapes.
Yeah.
For people that remember those.
Who knows what the fuck is
what
going
is
on?
That?
But I mean, I would say that I could see it because it was originally supposed to be spelled Berenstain. Mm-hmm. But no one, whenever you hear the name Berenstain, you immediately imagine that it's probably Berenstain, like Stein. Because no one ever uses that. So you could imagine that you went to a printer and you're like, yeah, I wanted to say Berenstain Bears or whatever, and they put it on there. The likelihood of someone fucking it up is pretty high. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, so long ago. Like, people are just generally more intelligent now than they were, like, 50, 60 years ago. I mean, you ever think about that? The farther you go back in time, the more dumbass people are.
Wow.
You know? Think about that.
Sorry, except old people everywhere. Man.
Yeah, those old people are fucking stupid.
I mean, it's lighter the more recent it is, you know, the effect. But if you go back in time, I mean, with the exception of maybe, like, Ben Franklin. I was going to say, to Ben Franklin's time, that guy could probably still run circles around us, but I don't know. I'm just saying that when you watch these old movies and you know, they take place like 400 years ago in Great Britain, they're not that smart. They're doing shit that they wouldn't. Their life expectancy was like 34.
Because those are documentaries, right? Because those are actually what actually happened at that time.
I know. They have to update it, and this gets back to our conversation about accents. You know, like Willem Dafoe not doing a French accent or Dutch accent for Van Gogh in the new movie.
Well, Ben Franklin also invented the harmonium, which was an instrument that basically consisted of different size, what you would basically whittle down to as different size wine glasses that they would be dipped in water constantly, and you put your finger on them and they would run along the edges. But when they did it, all the paint had lead in it. So when people would play it.
This is exactly my point.
when people would play it, they would go crazy from lead poisoning. And
so
people
it's not
thought,
just an intelligence thing, it's like also blood exposure.
People thought that the sound of the instrument was driving them crazy.
Do you think Facebook is our lead?
Jesus, are you going to let me say like any of this? Hold on. So he was. So,
I'm trying to make what you're talking about interesting.
Oh, shit. Oh, dear.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. I'm uncomfortable.
That sounds like a real Zenial thing, dude.
And the cracks present themselves.
This is the beginning
Enjoy
of the
end. Enjoy the two separate podcasts.
So to wrap it up, it would sound all creepy. People thought that the creepy sound was making people insane, but it was actually lead. So Ben Franklin wasn't exactly even the most brilliant person.
Right. I'm sure he, like, if you brought him up in time, we'd especially see that. He would probably just
He wanted to make a fucking
dullard.
Turkey our national bird.
Right? He was, yeah. He was freaky smart, but also just generally a freak.
Yeah. Some people dance to the beat of a different drummer. He danced to the beat of a different instrument.
That's completely true.
Indeed. All right. Let's go ahead and get into this.
All right. Second round.
Bring it.
History.
All right.
At the time 63 years old, Michigan school teacher Annie Edson Taylor is associated with being the first person to survive what public stunt in 1901?
I know this.
I know it too.
The day of the 4th anniversary trivia at Nice Guys, Seth was like, we need to brush up on random things. Seth goes, I'll look at the presidents. I'll look at the periodic table of
contents.
I don't even know how to say it. I'm not going to look it up. So I'm like, shit, I better prep something. So I'm of value to my team. So I just Googled
historical events that happened on this day, because that is something you are wont to do sometimes, Mark Davis. And I know that that lady went over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
That's correct.
She was having hard times financially, right? And she was like, how can I make some money? Well, everybody else who's done this has died, but if I do it, maybe I'll live and make some money.
That's correct.
That was my gut. My gut. I went to that.
What that barrel? That was not a barrel. That was my gut.
What say you?
Oh, no.
I'm just going to agree with the 4 out of 5 people who've already said it was a barrel.
Could you giggle one time real quick?
I was going to say, we need some more giggling with that.
That's beautiful.
Just provide the giggle track.
That is correct, guys.
Yes. You know,
Niagara Falls in a barrel.
That's
I
good,
have never
sorry, that was a real tangential
a
way to get to that answer, but
no, that's fine. I mean, take it from these guys, listeners. Study up, you know. Take the time. I still have not looked at the list of presidents. I am so vulnerable. So vulnerable.
I try to look at the president list and I just glaze over. It's like Ambien. I'm like James K. Buck.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, I actually knew the boiling helium one that you asked the nice guys on Wednesday, too, but I couldn't recall it. So frustrating.
Seth is having a coronary.
Seth over there. I'm happy to be next to Aaron.
I'm glad you're videotaping this, Seth, in case you die. We'll have some evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last appearance by Seth
for the rest of us of this.
All I've done is laugh twice, right. And he's gone
but
crazy
it's so
twice.
Dry. That's what's so wonderful.
Let's, all right, Seth is going to regain his composure. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys, a second question here. He's got the giggles. Just saying the word will bring it out of him. At least giggle in the microphone. Aaron. Jeez. All right, here is your next question. It is a biology question for you guys. The centimorgan. You guys know what the centimorgan is?
I have no fucking clue.
The centimorgan is a unit of measurement that describes the distance between what on a chromosome? The centimorgan is a unit of measurement that describes the distance between what on a chromosome.
Man.
Wow.
Well, today I learned that the chromosome has parts that have distances between them.
Word.
That would just have been happened. Helpful to find that yeah, out before today, that. I think.
Possibly.
Wait, yep. Okay.
I think he means right now.
What? Yeah. Like when you're talking about like DNA and chromosomes and stuff, isn't there those...
helix.
Right, not the helix, but there's like letters that represent certain things. There's like an A,
B, X, Y. Or I mean, X, Y.
Are you no, that? Not like that. That's the gender thing. But there's like, oh man, it's like amino acids and something else, and like A, B, G, T, something like that. They're like different. Oh my gosh, I should have paid more attention in science class. I was a theater major, for God's sakes.
He's trying, folks.
Come on, folks.
Well, yeah, I see Jamie doing a lot of heavy weight here on the microphone. At least maybe they're just thinking.
The
word
alleles
right
comes to mind, but I
the
don't.
The word is a vampire.
I'm sorry, wasn't that Superman's father's name?
Good one.
No.
Al-El?
That's Jor-El.
Oh, close enough. Kal-El?
That's Superman.
Isn't that what Nick Cage named his son?
Yeah, yes. Because okay. He's a fucking Superman.
That's are you trying to say the Al-El?
Sorry.
That's what I said. Yeah, Al-El. Yeah. All
right.
That's just a total stab in the dark.
I'm going to go with that.
Fletcher knows science word. I say yes.
Yeah, I've got nothing on this one.
That's a bit specific for what I was asking, but I would give it to you for writing that down. Genes is the answer. The difference between genes. Yeah. Yep.
See, this is what happens sometimes. We could just give a normal human being's answer, but then we over-logic it. Like, we will sit here for 20 minutes discussing it.
That's fine, but if you're a quiz master, too, you better know that shit. You better know if somebody's writing down something that's more specific or more known. All the time, I'll have, like, a general answer down, and then, like, what animal is this?
Do you prep that ahead of time? Like, possible extra answers like that are acceptable? Or
no, if the answer is right, I give them the points. And if the answer is wrong, but it's something that I don't know is clearly wrong, I'll usually look it up on the fly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've looked stuff up and been... Right. I looked stuff up after I asked it.
Like, that's how the organ thing happened, I think.
I saw organ and I was like, wait a minute. Like,
then he had to do
when I was rushing through real quick trying to get all this stuff together, I didn't really like consider this much. And then I was like, Wikipedia, help. All right, third question. Sports. Oof. Seth, you're the sports guy of the group.
I hope.
So I'm asking, basically.
Hold on. Kristen, though,
I'm
comes
sorry.
In a
you're
clutch
right.
a lot of times.
Yeah, you're right. I apologize.
Thanks, Mark.
In 2004, Missy... So then I'm asking you only. You're the only one that can answer.
Oh, well, I mean,
in 2004...
That's not true.
No. Missy Bellinder, B-E-L-L-I-N-D-E-R, became the first woman to join what sports league?
What year was it again?
2004.
Why am I thinking volleyball?
The same year women got the right to vote.
I don't know why, but my brain went hockey, like, instantly. Because I do know that, at least on, like, a kid's sporting level, it's, like, the most gender-accepting, mm-hmm. believe it or not, sport. Because, you know, I'm a teacher. I know a lot of kids play hockey, and boys and girls are all on the same teams together. And it's been that way for a while, whereas, like, it's just starting to be that way with the other, like, junior leaguing sports, you know?
So please, no one else here say, what league would that be? Jamie?
The NHL, bro.
Okay, all right.
I'm from Maine. I do know some stuff like that.
Yeah, hockey seems like it'd
be... I know cold sports.
Cold sports, yes.
Hockey seems like it'd be a little more progressive.
Ice fishing.
What about football?
Oof. See, I feel like football is still that... It's like the glass ceiling sport. Like, when we finally get... that broken, I think that'll be the big
one.
We'll
have
one,
a female president before we have a
I can't wait
till
women can finally get
player.
Concussions like men can.
There were a couple of years ago where a woman was trying out to be a kicker.
Yes. Oh, that's happened to football.
She ended up
times.
Not doing, like, it was, like, really, really highly publicized, and she ended up not doing well at all.
Yeah.
I guess she had hurt her leg and then still tried to do it, which sucks because it ended up kind of setting everything back even more, because then all these, you know, assholes were like, look at her. Like,
and
this
just
is what
a few
you bring.
Years ago, I think it was just 2 or 3 years ago that we had our first female coach on a team, a specific position coach the Jets. I'd like to say fuck the Jets, not because they got a female. Well, I'm a Dolphins, so I fucking hate the
well,
Jets.
Well, we are
okay.
talking
die
about
Jets.
Sports leagues, okay. is what yes. we're talking about.
But
here.
I think that Jamie is accurate on this one. I'm not 100% positive, but I think it's right. I think I remember hearing something around that time about a woman being in the NHL or getting into at that time. That's what I would go with.
Does the team agree?
Sounds good to me.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we'll go with hockey.
Well, the correct answer is PBA, the Professional Bowlers Association.
Wow.
So okay. there's usually...
That's not a sport, that's a game.
Woof. Ooh. Well, there go
it's
all our bowling.
It's definitely a sport. Definitely a sport.
A little salty.
I've been all up in this sports versus non-sports discussion lately.
Oh, that question you yeah. posted about when wrestling.
Right, when I'm trying to, you know, categorize all my questions, and I wanted to know if wrestling was considered more of a sport or more television.
Please answer my question.
Sports entertainment.
Professional wrestling.
What is your question?
Is hunting a sport?
No, it's butchery.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Here, Lee, I got one
well,
for you.
Well, you just lost the gun lobby, friends.
Is marching band a sport?
If it's competitive, yes.
So
okay,
all,
then hunting's
all
a sport.
It takes right, is competition? Yeah.
To me, physical skill, if there's a match that's won with physical skill, then it's a sport.
Is trivia a sport?
Yeah. Yeah. I categorize it as a sport when I put it into the events calendar.
I'm good at sports, Mom!
Yeah, finally, right?
ESPN.
Yeah,
used
so
to air
not the
NHL.
It was the PBA, the Professional Bowlers Association.
Sorry, guys,
that's
I led
really
us astray,
good.
But it sounded real good.
It sounded
no,
hella
it
good.
Really did sound good.
Yeah, well, you know, bowling.
Yeah, well,
if it's a sport or not, it's definitely more inclusive than hockey at this point. All right, here's a question for you guys: a geography question / history. Geography/history. In which mid-Atlantic state did the first drive-in theater open? In which mid-Atlantic state did the first ever drive-in movie theater open?
I know this too.
I feel like I've heard this.
I think I may have asked it once.
Kristen, go into your dark place. Tell us.
All right, I'm going in.
Come on, Eleven.
Guys,
go
she's taking
tank.
Her clothes off.
That is not true.
Absolutely
Stop
naked.
Stop objectifying my teammate.
You're listening to the Howard Stern Show.
Hey, guys, look at my wife.
Oh, my God.
It is the Howard Stern Show now.
I guess if you're in Australia, teammate means something different.
Don't objectify my teammate.
G'day.
Exactly.
Shrimp on the barbie.
Maybe the dango ate your baby.
Yeah.
This
what
is a knife.
In which Mid-Atlantic state did the first drive-in theater open?
That's also what happens when we don't know an answer. We talk about something else.
Right.
Oh, we've been there. Anybody that listens to the podcast knows yes. that Mark and I will.
Hi, welcome to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
You struggle on microphone.
Right.
Hi, my name is Deflecting.
Right. Where everybody, you show everybody how dumb you
are.
Let's
talk about this. Let's talk about this. Mid-Atlantic states. Mid-Atlantic states.
Mid-Atlantic. All right, so we're talking about... Like,
you guys seem like you're losing some gas here.
The Carolinas?
You guys still feeling sharp?
Is that mid-Atlantic or is that too southerly?
I keep thinking New Jersey.
New Jersey is not mid-Atlantic. That's like North Atlantic.
Then what's mid?
I wouldn't think it would be
Rhode Island? Like Rhode Island?
I think that kind of falls
you're
into mid-Atlantic
territory. You're thinking Rhode Island is more mid-Atlantic
I think mid-Atlantic
Jersey?
Is going to be like
Rhode
from
south of Jersey,
Virginia.
But not as south as the Carolinas.
From like around Virginia up to, you know, the southern portions of New York, Long Island, that area is mid-Atlantic.
Okay.
So New Jersey's a good guess. That's a good guess.
As soon as I heard New Jersey, it sounds right to me.
I was going
to
say Delaware, but I when she said
Delaware.
New Jersey, I'm gonna go with New Jersey. That's what I think it is.
Aaron.
yes.
That golden giggle.
Look,
the
I'm
man with the
out.
Golden giggle.
Oh, I'm dropping out. I got nothing.
New Jersey is correct. New Jersey is correct.
Oh, and it is. So I actually brought up a map. These are the states that are considered mid-Atlantic.
Really?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Whoa,
New Jersey.
West
like
Virginia,
looking at this
Virginia,
map,
you see,
New York.
You see, you
I don't see that
Pennsylvania.
You see,
I wouldn't call that mid.
You see,
I was
New Jersey
on.
Is in the north mid-Atlantic. North
Mid-Atlantic. All right. Okay.
You see,
it's a region of the United States generally located between New England and the southern Atlantic states. So New York,
okay.
New Jersey, Pennsylvania,
New
Delaware.
York is considered.
Delaware is one. Maryland,
although,
Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia.
Mark, will you back me up on this? New Yorkers like to call themselves New Englanders all the time.
I have heard that.
Oh, and it infuriates the true New Englanders
Oof.
To no end.
Okay.
This is a little spot of regionalism coming through. I don't know. I'm starting to question this name now. I'm seeing some exclusion here.
Little black book of regionalists.
All right. Here is the fifth question, the penultimate question of the second round.
Which you forgot to say the other night on Wednesday. It broke my heart.
I know. It broke my heart. I've been whiffing on that. So
you need
anybody
to get a script,
who is
man.
Not
you need a script.
And you know, that's the last thing I need. to anybody that has never been onto my trivia. I usually ask the same last question, penultimate, and then the second round, because it is on the second last question, I say the penultimate question of the penultimate round of trivia, and it's kind of been my shtick thing to do that forever, but the last like 2 or 3 weeks I've forgotten. My brain has been elsewhere, I guess.
We'll get your shit together.
Fade away.
I will try to. I'm so sorry. here is your penultimate question. What is the third largest Mediterranean isle after Sicily and Sardinia? Also, the birthplace of the cauliflower plant.
Ooh, Seth's hand went up, and then he heard cauliflower, and that hand went down.
No, I think I'm right on this.
Consult with your team first.
It's one of two.
Consult with your team first.
And I think I think I know this.
Stop looking at us.
Well, I would think that you said the third largest after
yes.
Sicily and Sardinia
yes.
would be Corsica. But I heard before that I kind of know this, that the cauliflower came from Cyprus I think it's Cyprus. So it's one of those two. It's either Corsica and the third largest Sardinia, Corsica.
Does Greece fall on the size?
Greece is
connected.
Landlocked.
It's not landlocked,
but it's part of the mainland.
Okay.
Ain't no island.
It has tons of islands that
okay,
are part of it in the Aegean Sea.
Associated with it. Okay.
I think I'm because Corsica and Cyprus are so close in size, I'm going to have to go with Cyprus on this one.
Dude, Cyprus, I'm with you because I like Cypress Hill, so I'll go with that.
Cyprus sounds good.
Cyprus is good. That's the correct answer.
Yes.
Great job,
Hell
Seth.
Yeah,
holy
guys.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
I love how you went with Corsica first, but it wasn't the size thing. It was specifically the knowledge about cauliflower.
Corsica's got to be four. I mean, it's got to
be.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're really close.
Thank you, Cyprus, for cauliflower. I enjoyed
it. But it was that extra question that...
Yeah, a little bit of information.
Locked it in, yeah.
Here's your last question for this round, guys. This is a state laws question. According to Illinois state law, it is illegal to fall asleep in a shop or store selling what? In Illinois.
Your body.
Oh, boy.
I would say this is a unique, weird law.
Is this a new... Because you asked one of these questions at Three Pepper last week, right?
Yeah, I think you got one of those books state? Of the websites of creepy
actually,
laws.
Two separate research
really?
Jumps. Yeah, just so okay. happened.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
This one, I was... well, I was looking at weird state laws. It was just a separate thing, but then I went over to Illinois. I was looking at Florida stuff.
So. I just like to point this out. I am trying to now you stopped. I'm trying to video this episode. I hope we do use it. But Fletcher and Kristen both together were like gathered or huddled together, snuggling, trying to form some sort of Herman Chrysalis.
Chrysalis.
Yeah. Some little cocoon.
Oh, we always keep it at 55 degrees sharp when we record.
Okay, there's a good reason then. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Back to the question.
55 I'm degrees
in,
sharp.
In the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Do people usually set their thermostats at not... Like,
not
what,
sharp?
What do you keep your AC at? 76.4 degrees.
Not ish. Sharp. Ish.
Well, when I'm looking at that mercury, I want to be sharp at the top. Sharp.
It's on the north
it's end. It's illegal to...
Am I the only person who's now forgotten the question?
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it here. According to Illinois state law, it is illegal to fall asleep in a shop selling what?
All right, I'm going to spitball on this one, kids. But to me, the comedic answer, which often is the truest answer, would be a store that sells like sleeping products like pillows or pajamas or mattresses.
Like a Bed Bath & Beyond?
Like, you know, or like I just picture you like, you know, you go in to test out a mattress. You're sitting on a sweet, sweet memory foam. You kick back and then you're out, you know.
That sounds mattresses. Like a sale to me. I want him to fall asleep. Or her.
Right. Like,
if you're
going to
sell me something I'm going to sleep on.
I'm buying that mattress. If I
that's
fell asleep
tactic.
In the store.
I'm going
to. Aaron?
I don't know.
I was going to broaden it and just say furniture in general. Because I've fallen asleep on a couch in a Walmart.
Okay.
I'm not proud.
Wow. He always comes through. He always comes
I'm not
through.
Saying I'm
really,
proud about
really
it.
He does.
But I've done it.
Wasn't
it
the title of your autobiography also?
I'm not proud of it, but I've done it.
Memoirs.
No regrets to Life of Aaron.
Walmart's always there for you.
Wow. So what's the answer here?
Let's go. You know what?
Guns?
Let's go with Aaron.
I want to go with Aaron.
I think if we're looking at something like weaponry, that wouldn't make it a ridiculous state law. That would just make it practical. You shouldn't fall asleep selling something that can kill people. Then it wouldn't be so silly.
Are you thinking it's the employee who's falling asleep and thereby breaking the law, or the patron?
It's illegal for anyone.
Anyone.
Okay. Mm. Just even people window shopping.
I took it as someone working in the shop.
See, I think we all went patronage. The three of us went patronage while the Hermans okay. went employee related.
That's how I took it.
All of the above.
Okay.
This is across any person. Any person.
Can we split the field here? Can... Half the team say
so
one.
No. Okay. You guys are a team.
What? Really?
Are
you
one
you're
team
trying
or
to
two
split
team?
Us
team?
Us?
No.
Okay.
It's too late for that now.
All right.
Thanks, so Jamie.
I like
through this.
I like the idea of furniture.
I like the idea of furniture just because Aaron said it.
Aaron did say it.
Furniture could be wrong, but we'll see.
I don't care if it is.
Furniture makes sense.
It's not furniture.
See?
It
but
is
it's,
food.
Okay.
Food.
Oh.
Any store or shop that sells food,
wow.
employees,
okay.
nor people, just
nor.
Patrons.
Nor patrons.
So I can't just walk into a Kroger in Chicago and just lay down and fall. And
I
take,
did
and
fall asleep
in
a McDonald's when I went to the UK because we got there at 5 in the morning.
I'm sure I've slept in the back of Auntie Anne's when I worked there as a teenager.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, I've fallen asleep
at Auntie Anne's.
Yeah,
on a Saturday
morning before the day.
Actually, so here's an interesting fact, a Markism, a Mark fact. When I first started working at a store about 45, 50 minutes away, on Saturday nights I'd have to wake up the next morning at Sunday, and I lived... You know, almost an hour away from work. So on Friday nights, I would go there. Saturday nights, I'd go there. I would go to TGI Fridays in the mall and eat. And then I'd go to the movie theater and watch a movie. And I would just go to the back room, wash my clothes in the washer dryer they have in the back room. And I would just sleep on the floor. On like a inflatable mattress. Not on the floor like a dog.
Oh my God. That's the kind of freedom that you have here in the great state of Florida.
Yeah, hello. Welcome to managerdom. What a wonderful thing.
That makes me kind
it
of
is.
Sad.
It was pretty miserable. It was actually kind of nice because you could get drunk and not have to worry about driving home. And I went with people, you know, like, I worked with friends of mine or whatever, but yeah, you know, it's a, it's
not
a living.
Not in Illinois, though. In Illinois,
you guys
that
are
is
looking
a...
at me.
Damn, dude.
No, I remember. I remember those nights.
Yeah. I've woken up in much worse places.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I remember when you did that. Well, let's not forget, Aaron's falling asleep on a couch in a Walmart.
Plus, yeah, I think the idea of sleeping at work has this kind of quality of like roughing it. Like, hey, I'm gonna. That's how much I'm committed to my
so
job.
So dedicated,
lazy.
Yeah, I'm honestly, sleep at work. Yeah, there are much worse places to have been. Like. Yeah. I was in a.
But you didn't even have a little bag of flour to curl up on. You just slept right on the floor.
No. I had an inflatable mattress.
And he said that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My bad.
He was
I just went in a spiral of depression listening to that sad story.
Oh God.
Let's go ahead and wrap up this round and take a quick break, and we'll be back for some final questions.
Final.
In our final round. Before we get started, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have taken the time to share our podcast on social media and leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, guys. And we are also on Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and other platforms. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Just go to our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and you'll see a link to all of our platforms where you can subscribe to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast right below the header. If you'd like to write into the show with a missed correction, you guys want to do the song? We don't have any missed corrections, but we can do the song.
Oh, can we please do the song?
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-da-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
Missed corrections. Oh, my God.
If we're going to have
please,
the hard hand
could you make that available as a ringtone?
Absolutely. Patreon, and maybe. You can write in with a miscorrection or a rate my question, as we had a couple this episode. Just email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We also, Mark, also,
Lee,
we have a final winner for our first t-shirt contest.
We don't have one.
Well, we do. We're going to have one right now.
We're about to have one. Don't say we do, because we don't.
My bad.
That's a lie.
We're going to have one. Aaron is going to be kind enough to
team captain
to pick one out for us.
Giggle enthusiast,
mainly because he's just got that great inflection when he comes on the mic.
Y'all are killing
me.
There
you go. Pick all any right. of those.
Okay, here we go.
We had a few entries here.
Here's the winner.
Oh,
see, he's getting that mic time now.
Sarah.
Congratulations to you, Sarah. Sarah,
our friend Sarah, my friend Sarah.
Cool. We will get in touch with you and get some shipping information together. Get a t-shirt to you. We're gonna run this this thing another time.
There you go.
Yeah,
fuck
so, it. So just share the podcast. Use the hashtag #NoNonsenseTrivia.
Wow.
Share it on Facebook, Twitter, share it anywhere.
Lee, you know what I love about these shirts?
What?
They're tri-blend.
They are wonderful tri-blend.
It just
shirts.
Holds your body. It
cotton,
caresses you at every turn.
Poly,
it just feels like
blend.
A really big hand.
How does it launder?
There's a good amount of shrinking, just so you know, because I'm a
fat
body.
Well, shrinkage is real. Cotton. Let's not forget.
It's 30% cotton.
Okay. Yeah.
So 30% shrinkage.
So we're looking at a quarter inch.
Wash it in cold water.
That's 30% cotton.
Quarter inch retraction.
That's right.
That's 30% cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30% polyester and 30% actual human cells.
Ooh. Our human cells.
Our human
Your
cells.
Your human
cells. We're shirts. A little bit of us.
Human
every shirt you
say.
Buy, they scrape skin cells off of us. And use them, so please don't buy too many.
Oh. I'm making the
because I
right
hurt
now.
So bad.
That explains the smell.
You don't
it's
want to
kind of like a sunburn
books.
At this point, and I just kind of
it's
wish
weird.
For death.
I started scratching, and now I'm starting to smell. It's a weird, weird
oh,
reaction.
Gross.
Anyway, congrats, Sarah. We're going to get you one of our tri-blend shirts.
Yowza.
Please don't give her a smelly
I'm
shirt.
Smelly yeah. chicken fingers
Sarah,
and
I'm sorry now that you've won.
No. This shirt was made long ago. The cells have already integrated. The smell is long gone now. But we're going to send you one of those shirts. And yeah, if you want to join and... in the fun and maybe win a shirt next week, just post about the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on
if you
want to
win
media.
Some DNA.
So are you guys ready for the last question?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ow. All right.
I'm ready.
So acronyms.
Ooh.
Okay.
Is yep. the category.
Jamie and I live with those every day. Yes, we do.
Yes, you do.
Are you okay with that category, Mark? Is this categorized properly?
You know what? I don't I think we could do a whole episode on my distaste for your categories.
Let's do it.
Let's write you a PDF. All right,
maybe we'll do that next week.
All right.
We'll
so here we go. This is dedicated to Tim Clark, one of my best friends. Seth, you and him go way back also.
The boatman.
Who works for Clark and Isley Traditional Boatbuilding, which we mentioned before. A maritime law enacted after the disastrous events surrounding the sinking of the RMS Titanic, SOLAS, S-O-L-A-S, SOLAS, is an acronym that stands for what? You want that one more time?
Yes, please.
Sure.
A maritime law enacted after the disastrous events surrounding the sinking of the RMS Titanic, SOLAS, is an acronym that stands for what?
And that's S-O-L-A-S?
Yes. Now, we have a pen here and a piece of paper. I don't know if it's easier for you guys. You can flip that over if
sometimes
you guys want to kind of like write it out as it goes. But yeah, take your time. Start thinking.
I know one of the major reasons it sank was because they were sending out SOSs, but other ships had their radios turned off. Mm. So this is likely some sort of law dictating that they have to keep their radios on.
Mm. Well, also, didn't they...
It's incredible. Watch this man's mind work.
Also, didn't they not have the appropriate number of life-saving devices like lifeboats, life vests, etc. for the number of passengers because it took up too much space that they wanted mm-hmm. for other luxury items?
Yeah, the 1997 documentary confirmed that.
Was that the documentary starring Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, perchance? So, like, the L, when I went lifeboat instantly when I was listening to Mark say the acronym.
See, I hear
I thought about the number of people in the lifeboats and thinking about Jack and Rose clinging to that door.
Let me just softball question you guys right now. Who rediscovered the Titanic wreckage?
That would be James Cameron, right?
Yeah. I just want to point out, that's probably what you would usually get at a trivia night, is a question like that. But I wanted to give you guys an ultra hard one here.
No, I
Did
like
you ever
it.
Ask Fortnite?
I used it as a tiebreaker the other night.
How did it go?
Got it instantly.
Okay.
For what it's worth, too, James Cameron only made the movie Titanic so he could go deep sea exploration.
Right.
It was just a giant excuse for him to go deep sea. He's like,
right.
He was over making movies. Like, I want to be a deep sea explorer. Let me make this movie.
Yeah. Despite what I think about Avatar, I like him, generally.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I was going to say it was Bill Paxton.
I mean, the man gave us the Terminator movies.
Game over, so. Man.
Game okay. over, man.
SOLAS.
Life assisting?
SOLAS.
The SO sounds like signal operator to me. I'm going back to that radio question.
All right. Well, let's spitball a little bit. Okay.
That's the signal first thing I thought of was the same thing you did. Yeah.
Something, maybe the AS is all signals if you're saying they weren't receiving. So maybe
location.
It's what's the L then?
L gets to locate, I don't know, having to do with locating it.
Signal operator, locates something all signals. I don't.
Locate.
All right, I think we should call
listens
time.
Listens to all
clear
signals.
They don't know it.
I don't.
This
yeah.
Is, this is a,
we could go on like this
ahead,
forever.
Are we even let's close go ahead and get signals? A last guess from you.
Yeah.
Let's. All right, signal operator, right? Kristen, pick
listening?
An L word.
Locate.
Locate all signals.
Okay. The correct answer is safety of life at sea.
So you were going down the right track when you're thinking about safety.
It's more general, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the International Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea is the name
bless
of that
you.
Law.
Bless you.
And it is still used today.
Cool.
So on the, based on 100
years
Titanic.
Later.
Yep. Okay, I've got one last question for you guys.
Tim, we're sorry.
This is yeah. I wonder. We'll have to figure out if he
was
I
he screaming at the podcast.
I want to know what the story
yeah, exactly.
is right now.
We'll have to see if he's like working on a boat, going. Let's finish
our day. Real quick. I just want to ask a question of everybody here. When you listen to the podcast, have you ever yelled out like in your car or wherever you're listening? I know I have.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, no, it's this. Come on.
I think I've got I think I've got individual stories from all of you at some point that you have done that.
Oh, then we come on the podcast and we're like, duh, what?
We
now someone else is going
now.
Say it, yeah, why not say?
It was
fucking
just
moron.
It was just Friday when you asked Lee the question about Oda Mae Brown.
Oh.
I was like, it's Ghost. It's Ghost. Yeah, it's Ghost.
I did too on that one. Yeah,
perfect. Well, I'm glad that we have that.
Didn't know that one. Yeah, I know that one.
When you said driving Miss
Daisy,
I've
never seen Ghosts. Now that I think about it.
What?
Yeah, I might have missed that one.
You better Netflix that.
You know,
that.
I'll join you. I've never seen Ghost either.
Oh, yeah, well, that's also because you're a fetus.
I've
Let's
seen
be
it.
Honest.
I've seen it.
You are
Sakurai.
Very young.
I'll let you respond to that. That open attack.
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I'm not even going to encourage that behavior.
Let me preface this with, I just had a birthday yesterday, so I'm a bit more aged than
happy
I
birthday,
was.
Jamie.
He's all high and mighty.
Earlier this week, and Kristen is much younger than I, and so anytime that I have
He's
the opportunity
jealous.
To rub her face in that, yeah. I try to.
Jamie's just jealous.
But also
you just
remember,
can't look this good, Jamie. It's
you.
Not my fault.
But remember when I was standing up for you and Mark was A, objectifying you, and B, not letting you answer a sports question.
I was not objectifying.
Because he assumed you had a feeble lady brain when it came to sports, when it's just not true.
I'm the one with the feeble lady brain.
That,
about
I
sports
just noticed
relationship.
That almost, if you guys were flipped, this would go from like loudest and most outspoken to quietest if Seth and Aaron were switched. Actually, Seth, maybe you'd be down there.
Mark, I'd just like to say thank you.
Yeah, no
for
problem.
That. Thank you.
Thank right. you, Jamie, for being loud.
We You're have welcome. One more last question, I think.
Yes, this is a cult movies question.
Ooh,
cult movies
okay.
is the topic.
Yeah.
Yon DeBont. Do you guys know that name?
I
Yon
do.
DeBont. You do?
Mm-hmm.
What do we got?
He's a director.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Of what?
Well, I don't know. It might be the question. Don't...
Right. No. I just, it's not. It's not the answer to the question, but I'm intrigued okay. because most people don't know this name, or at
Didn't
least when I
do,
asked it.
I want to say it's, oh,
We're
God.
Just detouring on this question.
Was he the one who was married to Gina Davis?
Well, I don't know that. Maybe. But he directed Twister and Speed.
I was going to say Speed. Mm-hmm. I knew Speed,
yeah.
I thought.
He also served as the director of photography on 1988's Die Hard. 7 years earlier,
Damn
though,
film.
He had his scalp lifted on set by a lion, just one of over 70 injuries to cast and crew on what 1981 big cat cult movie co-starring Melanie Griffith? What 1981 big cat cult movie did Yon DeBont, the director of Speed and Twister, have his scalp lifted?
1981?
Mm-hmm.
The only, oh, I don't.
Big cat cult movie.
Mm-hmm. It might be the only one.
What's funny is I do know that like Melanie Griffith, like as a child, like had big cats at her home. Am I correct in this? Does anybody else know this random fact? Like it was a big thing. Like she like they raised them or rescued them or something.
All right.
That's weird. Okay.
I want to have big cat money.
Hell
big
yeah.
Big cat money. Meow.
Big cat energy.
Wow. Like,
big cat.
I'm trying to think
anything
of
over
movies?
Here at this size table, Seth, Aaron, any guesses?
I'm trying to think of movies about big cats from that time period. They
yeah.
like
the
went
Clifford
straight
of cats.
To Seth. Yeah. Go with me, we'll go down memory lane here for the old folks because you and I are the senior members, I think.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm calling it like it is, bro.
It's okay.
Okay. What about Born Free? Or was that too mainstream?
That's too mainstream.
Is that too mainstream? Because,
yeah,
like,
mainstream.
You say big cat movie, and I'm like, all right, well, it's a movie about lions, for God's sake.
I'm not in the right era, but the only thing that comes to mind for me is The Ghost in the Darkness. But that was, like,
that
late
wasn't,
90s.
That wasn't, yeah, that was late 90s.
Melanie Griffith.
Do you guys
and
think
it
was
Melanie
too mainstream
was
at the
that
time?
Movie, no.
She wasn't.
That
was
I don't know, or has it become mainstream because... Isn't that what cult movies are wont to do?
That's kind of like a cult movie. Like, it was nothing
it
when it came
slow.
Out and then got a huge following.
Possibly.
Because that's, I mean, like, thinking back to the 80s.
Was Melanie Griffith in that?
I don't, dude,
I don't even know.
No,
I have
so.
No clue.
No.
I just know that it's a movie from the early 80s, late 70s about lions. Which, if it strikes, you know, in the words of Meatloaf, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Meatloaf is a singer for our typical aged audience.
Oh,
members.
God. Do you
oh my
have
God.
To tell that?
Seriously, Lee, do you think that Meatloaf is someone they wouldn't know?
The fact that you
You'd
had
be
to
surprised.
Explain Meatloaf.
I had some players
you know,
once. I had some players
love,
once that
but
didn't
I won't
know.
Do that.
They couldn't name one member of the Beatles.
Okay, they should be stoned
and
to
And they
bitch.
Were in a bar. They were
tell
all
me
in
who
a
the
bar.
Master who didn't know who Fred Sanford was.
Can I write? Can I
tell you?
Not it.
Total sidebar. Seth came up to me the week after that podcast and he goes, please tell me that you knew what I was talking about. And he was so happy when I said yes, mm-hmm. that he started walking around like Fred Sanford.
Right. That was back when TV had like 13 channels, right?
Can I break everyone's
Less.
Hearts about
like
Meatloaf?
Five.
Right. What's that?
Can I break everyone's hearts about Meatloaf?
Sure.
My introduction to Meatloaf was through the Spice Girls movie Spice World.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just
okay.
thought I'd throw that out.
Okay, Kristen, you should not
I
share
I knew about
next
him
time.
Because of...
Fight Club?
No. Roundhouse on Nickelodeon, the variety show, they did a vegetarian meatloaf parody. I was like, what is this?
I know about Meatloaf from Bat Out of Hell.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw him in Centennial Park.
Yes.
Back when 96 K-Rock used to do big concerts. My parents said, I really wish we could be up front so you could see him. So I left them.
Was it entertaining?
I walked all the way up front and hung out with some bikers right near the front.
What age was this?
My parents couldn't find me. My dad put his hand through my ass. I was in so much trouble. Not into my asshole. I mean,
your father's a proctologist?
We're going to start calling you Kermit from now on.
he beat the holy hell out of me.
Age was this, Mark?
I must have been like 9.
Oof.
I must have been like 8 or 9. But it was an amazing concert. They did Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah, I know him from Paradise by the Dashboard Light and really wasn't a big fan of him until I saw him live. Which is probably at the same event, and thought, my God, this guy's awesome. He's
great.
You
can very much tell the age difference. We got everything from Paradise by the Dashboard Light to fucking Spice Girls. World.
Aaron stares at a Band-Aid, and Jamie is not understanding it yet.
I'll have the record show. I'm the one who made the Meatloaf reference.
That's true. Thank you.
I just want to say that I was grossly underwhelmed when I saw that album cover and heard it was called Bat Out of Hell, and then listened to it. I was expecting some crazy heavy metal Slayer,
but it's so like theatrical. No. And great.
I mean, not Slayer.
It's good. He was a Broadway theatrical musical theater guy who wanted
Andy's
to be a rock
from Texas.
Star.
Right.
Anyway, back
sorry,
to
here we deflect, Jan, deflect, deflect.
Jan de Bont.
I got nothing
all right,
on
what
this.
Is the movie that
either
he was scouting?
The only thing I can say is what Jamie said, Born Free, because it's the only one having to do with
lions and
that I know
that time
of,
period.
Other than the other one, that Candace Bergen movie with Sean Connery, The Wind and the Lion. But I know that's not
okay,
it.
Okay, you
that's
just went real
the
deep.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
The Lion, the Witch, and the C.S. Lewis. Movie? No, it's not a Lifetime. It was an Academy Award winner, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I'm showing my
thank
age.
You very much.
Jamie, it's not Born Free.
It's
Jamie,
not.
You were going down the right when you were talking about Melanie Griffith being raised around lions. This is the movie that is the product of that life experiment. It's called Roar. And it is
not the Katy Perry song.
Not the Katy Perry song.
Okay.
No, this is a 1981 movie where a director and I don't know if it was a girlfriend, partner, or something like that, and a young Melanie Griffith, they all raised like 70 lions and tigers and panthers.
And we're talking really young, right, Lee? Like I remember
she was
seeing,
like 11 or something.
Yeah, she was like an elementary school age kid.
Melanie Griffith was 11 in 1980.
1981. Well, I don't know. So they raised these cats for a number of years ahead of time around these actors.
All right.
Anyways, they shot this movie, and there was over 70 attacks during filming, many of which ended up actually on film. So I would just recommend, if you haven't heard of this movie, go watch a trailer for the movie Roar. We'll put a link in the show notes for this episode, the
Roar.
Making of Roar, which is a fascinating behind the scenes look at this. And basically, there's so many crazy stories.
When is someone going to make this interesting?
So many crazy stories. I'll make it interesting right now. These Japanese investors who invested in the movie, they came up to see their first look at production, and the director of the movie came running out with two giant puncture marks in his neck, blood streaming down his face, going, "The cats are out! The cats are out!" So imagine investing in this project.
Oh my God, could we
was
do...
Was it real? Or was
it was real.
Jeez.
I just pictured something. Our first video venture as a team with you guys should be a shot-for-shot remake, like they did with Psycho, the shot-for-shot remake, but we'll do it with, like, house cats instead.
Yeah, so support us on Patreon so we can get a budget
Lee,
together
I just
for
picture
that.
You.
Maybe we can get some Japanese investors.
Naked as a jaybird, bleeding profusely.
I know you do, I know you
just
do.
Just running from a little tabby. It'll be so great.
We know an asshole cat, so.
Don't we all? So, yeah. Check out Roar. Fascinating movie. Weird, strange, one-of-a-kind type story.
I wonder if that's been done on How Did This Get Made.
I don't think it has, but there must be an episode of Radiolab or something about it because I first heard about this on a podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think it was something. Some NPR podcast.
Cool. Snap
radio.
Judgment.
Yep. All right, well, thank you for joining us today, team. You guys have been lovely. Lovely
Thanks,
as
guys.
Usual.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. This concludes this episode of the No Nonsense
like
Trivia
don't want it
Podcast.
To end.
I don't either.
I know.
Can
it's
we just sit
so
here and talk
fun.
To each other
well,
with microphones in front of us?
We're going to go grab some lunch, I think, over at Nice Guys.
Yeah, we're going to grab some of that Nice Guys brunch.
Yep.
Word.
My name is Lee Brush, and I am joined, of course, by Mr.
Mark Davis.
Oh no.
Wow. Is he gonna say it or am I gonna say it?
You can get, I was trying to give you the
gotcha.
The glimmer. The glimmer.
I thought you were just looking deep into my eyes.
I should
eyes.
Just use my sweet, sweet voice. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia Live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again, normally on Wednesdays, but this week it will be on a Tuesday at Bury Me Brewing for the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Horror Movies Edition.
Horror, not horror movies. It's not so movies about poor. Prostitutes.
I never poor. Think about pronunciation as hard as poor. When I'm saying this, by the way.
Yeah. Hard movies.
Were you hard movies?
There might be some horrors as horror. Characters in those movies, as yeah, there well, are yeah, sometimes in horror movies. Sometimes it's horror movies.
Okay.
Sometimes it's horror movies, and sometimes it's one or the other.
Wow.
Each and every Thursday, you can see No Nonsense or complete No Nonsense Trivia at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show is starting at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, please tell our listeners where you can be found on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights, you can see me at Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral from 9 o'clock until 10:30. So if waking up super, super early is not something you have to worry about, we've got two school teachers here who come out to my trivia and are able to wake up and go out the next day. So
you're damn right.
Just fucking stuff your bullshit reasons.
What's your excuse?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and a big thank you to everybody that came out on Wednesday, including Lee, who fucking packed his shit up and raced down there.
I wanted on that awesome. Team, but Aaron took it from me.
Yeah,
well, it's funny. I flitted around. I will
say that when I was talking to them after we were done with trivia, then I go, Lee's a good teammate, but you're gonna basically not have him for the first round. That's something you guys got to consider.
Yeah.
So I may have kind of like weaseled you off the team, but I knew they wanted to win.
When I walked in, I think the answer sheets were going up, or they'd already been turned in, most of them,
yeah.
when I walked in. And what sucks is I knew more round one questions than any other round. I knew like four of them.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Man. And then later on, I was like, gold record? That was what I had. Anyway, listeners, thanks for tuning in. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge on your favorite podcast platform. You can support this podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher.
Yes.
Five stars only.
Five stars only, please. If you're going to go any less than five, then maybe you should just consider seppuku.
Y'all got to show me how to do that before I leave.
We can show
I want to leave a good...
We'll do that. Follow Seth's lead, everyone. That. And we are actually going to go out on Seth's family band's song. Seth, what are we going to hear as we leave this episode of the podcast?
Just before we leave, I'd like to say that I don't play on teams very often, but if I was ever going to do it again, I would do it with this pack of merry freaks again anytime.
Except
thanks,
on Mondays.
Buddy.
And you.
Except on Mondays.
Except on Mondays.
Oh, yeah, we'll kill you on Mondays.
And we're going to... Go ahead.
Real quick, Jamie, Kristen, Fletcher, Aaron, Seth, congratulations again. You guys did a great job, and thank you guys again for coming out here.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks to Nice Guys. Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, pizza.
Thank Aaron. You, Jesus.
Thank you, future free pizza.
Giggle, giggle.
Thanks, Penn Dennis.
Yes!
Let's not forget Jesus, because...
That liquid knowledge.
You know,
Jesus. He was our unseen
Seth
team
Seth
member.
Seth brought the holy into it.
Also Satan. You know, while we're throwing
Whoa,
things out.
Okay, yeah. That just got weird.
Also, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That's the power of... The
you
unifying
can't have the
power of trivia.
You can't have the light without the darkness.
It is true. There is a yin and a yang.
All right, Seth, so what are we going
to
be hearing?
We're going to be listening to the Shy Tunas. This is something that me and my wife have been working on, mostly my wife has been working on for quite a while. It's done by her, myself, and our wonderful daughter, Amelia. It's a record. It's just a short little four-song thing that we've done. It's called Ridiculously Halloween, and this is the title track.
We're the Shy Tunas, and we're here to stay, because we have nowhere else to go anyway. We wrote a couple songs about Halloween. If you want to hear them, just keep listening. It's to say what you want, it's to be what you be. It's Ridiculously Halloween. It's Ridiculously Halloween. It's Ridiculously Halloween. It's to say what you want, it's to be what you be. It's Ridiculously Halloween.